been searching for someone to fill the void in your heart? Have you been searching for someone to take all your pain away? Come see a man who died so you can have eternal life. Come meet a man that loves you more than you'll ever know. Let me introduce you to a man, a king, a savior, a provider. My friend, I introduce to you.
Sunday morning, and an even more gracious Palm Sunday. Amen. It's a joy, a privilege, and certainly an honor to be with you again this morning. We give God thanks and we give God praise for rising us up this morning and for allowing us to be here ever present with you. And we can only hope and pray that he is ever present with us this day. As we prepare for the word of God, for the people of God, may he be a blessing to us. I want to give a shout out to all our listeners, those who are listening now, those who will be listening, and also bid a good morning and good afternoon, depending on what time zone you're in, to my husband, Michael, and also to my mother, who I am thankful is in studio again with us today. And we're always glad when she's with us, even more so in studio. So good morning, Mother Beloved. All right. So today is the official Palm Sunday service, and we have to prepare ourselves. And we're going to start out today. We have to obviously read a little bit about what Palm Sunday is and why it is, and then we will proceed with our sermon lesson and message for the day, which we have entitled, well, we certainly have entitled, Expect the Unexpected. I repeat, expect the unexpected. And so we shall see where the Lord leads us. We shall see where he guides us. And we just hope, obtain, and recall, and then reuse and apply. Amen. But let us get ourselves ready for worship. Then we will open in prayer and then proceed with our Sunday service. I worship the King. This is Toronto Mass Choir. Golden pearl of frankincense. Let us pray. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, as we said before, we give you thanks, we give you praise, and we honor and we adore your most holy name. Father, as they were excited this day many years ago, we ask that you would give us that same excitement, that same joy, that same expectation, Father God, that a coming King would be coming and returning and being our peace, being our Savior, being our joy, being our healer, being our comforter, and all the wonderful things that they expected that glorious day that he would take over and we would be renewed and refreshed and once again anointed in his will. But as we continue to tackle right now this world and the worldly plagues and illnesses and aches and pains, and well, it says death has no sting, but we realize that it still hurts those who are left here are waiting for their return. So, Father, we ask that you be ever present with us, Father God, and guide us and strengthen us and keep us. And, Father God, give us a will to do your bidding, Father God. Give us a will to have the heart of you, Father God, that we would be loving and kind and nurturing and remember our beatitudes and have the right attitude, Father God. And, Father God, right now we ask discernment. We ask protection, a hedge of protection around each and every one of us from the plagues that fly by night. You said we will not be touched because they will not come nigh. But Father God, in the name of Jesus, continue to strengthen our faith. Remove all doubt, remove all fear. And Father God, in the name of Jesus, continue to give us abundance of wisdom. But Father, as we prepare to hear your words, and seek your guidance and to greet your face. Father God, you are welcome in this place. And so, Father, we prepare ourselves and we expect that you will receive this word and you will receive our thoughts, you will receive our cry and answer them accordingly and show up, show out, and be real. So we will leave it with you. As we continue to praise you this glorious Palm Sunday, and all those who agreed would certainly say, amen and amen. Let us get ready for our praise and worship, and then we will be greeted with the scripture from the Word of God for the people of God.
God has smiled on me. He has set me free. Oh, 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 God has smiled on me. He's been good to me. feeling you. I said, Father, are you there? I'm feeling real scared. So I got down on my knees as I began to pray, hoping that the Lord heard what I had to say. I said, I started begging. I said, pleading, and I got on my knees. I've been right here all along, so you can dry your eyes. You're seeking me like I knew you would, praising me like you know you could. That's when I realized that he's so good. My God is good. He's been good to me. Oh, 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 oh.
Yeah.
Amen. Today we're reading from the scripture Matthew, and we'll be reading from chapter 21. And our lesson is from 1 Peter chapter 5. I'll give you a few moments to look those up. Again, we're reading from both New Testaments, Matthew chapter 21. And today's scripture lesson is about 1 Peter chapter 5. And while you're looking those up and preparing, because I've always encouraged you to follow along, because I am but flesh and I will mess up. But only God is perfect. Amen. And because you need to know these things for yourself and not just because I told you, then you need to follow along and be very present with God's word. Continue to look us up, Pastor Jay Grosner, on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Or you can always email us either at PastorJRouse@gmail.com. or PastorJGrosner@gmail.com. And next Sunday, actually at the end of the week, Good Friday, we will have our two-part series sermon, and it will be about when things are unexplainable. And it's a two-part series. We'll be preaching on Good Friday again at 12 o'clock noon Eastern Standard Time. And Easter Sunday, we will rise up with the Lord. We will worship the Lord. And then we will give a word from the Lord on Easter Sunday again at 12 o'clock noon. All right, so I shall begin reading Matthew 21, and I will begin at verse 1. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethpage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, you shall say, The Lord had need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Sion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon a donkey, and a colt, the foal of a donkey. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the donkey and the colt, and put them there, clothed, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garment in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees, and strawed them up in the way. And the multitude that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Keep in mind, I'm going to read very quickly from Zechariah 9, because keeping in mind Zechariah is in the Old Testament, and it was already prophesied about the coming of the Lord. And it says, Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon a donkey and upon a colt, the foal of a donkey. All right, let's turn to 1 Peter. Again, we're reading from 1 Peter chapter 5. Turn your pages. It's still in the New Testament. And I'm going to read from verses 6 to 11. And it reads, "Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory for Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." The word of God for the people of God. May he add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the doing of his most holy word. Let us prepare for the word of God. Let him transform me. In Jesus' name.
Transform me to the woman you call me to be, Lord. Father, take over me. Help me be who you call me to be. Oh, transform me, Lord. What you created me to be, Lord. I'm tired of doing things Deborah's way.
Oh, so tired.
I no longer choose to be that way. Hey, hey, oh, transform me. Transform me. Down and shape me, remake me. So when I'm singing before
me to be the woman of God that you created me to be. I want to love like you. I want to walk like you. Lord God, I want to walk like you. So when I open up my mouth, just like Moses, Father, you speak through me and touch your people.
Expect the unexpected. We read from Matthew, and I want, when you get a chance, that you take a look at also John chapter 12. Because, as you know, there were many disciples attached to Jesus, and we always know that when there's a witness, everything gets explained in their own way, in their own mind, from their own point of view, from their own vision and view of the event. And certainly everyone has a personal thought and a personal opinion, and they will give that as a witness to what they see. As a witness, we are called to account for what God has done to each and every one of us. We in the church would maybe call it a testimony, but you are a witness because you have to give an accounting of what you yourself have experienced and what you have seen and managed to go through and have God bring you through it. Your story and my story may look somewhat similar, but we will always have a different accounting of it, even if we're in the same room, because how God touched you and how God touched me and how God moved you and how God moved me will differ depending on what it is you're going through at the time that the Lord moves, and how you may react to it. You recall being in church and sitting in a pew and watching the sermon and the service and the singing and the dancing and the praising. Some of it may touch you, and some of it may be nothing to you. But the person beside you may be moved by the thing that didn't affect you in any way whatsoever, and the person at the back might have only been moved by the singing because they may not have been able to see the dancing, or maybe they tuned out when the word of God was preached, but they followed along after when the altar call came and they saw people moving to the front and everyone bowing before the altar humbly before God and watching lives change. What's for me is for me, and what's for you is for you, and none of us will experience it the same way, and possibly not even at the same time. Now, I read in Matthew about the story of Jesus telling his disciples, listen, we're getting ready to head into town and I need a ride. Amen. And back then they wouldn't have this Chevy Malibu that my mom and I try to drive around in town in. They would have something called a donkey. If you were somebody of great importance and value and you had money and established yourself and power, you would have a horse. Now, we know that Jesus didn't come from great wealth in his earthly goods, but at the same point, Jesus was always given so much. And I have to recall a time when Jesus had his money keeper pay for everything, and they had enough money to buy the most expensive oils to prepare him. A week later, when he was about to be crucified, and Mary was anointing his feet and washing his feet with this most expensive oil. So we can't say that he was a poor man. And well, Jesus is a well-connected guy. In today's society, we would definitely say he was well-connected. He knew the rich, he knew the poor. We'll find out again next week that the beggars all knew him, and he did deal with them, and he provided for them. We know during his time on earth, when he was starting to perform miracles and display the glory of God within him and his calling, that he could go to very fancy weddings. And they were able to not only turn water into wine, but they could do it by big, large container full. So clearly he knew some people with some money. We know that he preached, and he preached to the thousands, and was able to buy and fishes and feed the thousands. Mind you, he didn't have to buy a lot. And if you know the scripture, you'll know exactly how many loaves and, well, exactly how many fishes he bought. But it's not that he couldn't afford to buy more. Everything he did was very calculated, because every single thing he was doing was for a reason. This is no different. So he tells them, I need to go and get to town. So here, go and tell this lady, the daughter of Sion, that the king cometh. You notice he says, behold, thy king cometh unto thee. But he also said, meek and sitting upon a donkey. So he was righteous and established and royal and regal, but at the same time, lowly and humble, sitting on a donkey. And he told them, go and do this. And he said straightway, don't hesitate, don't ask questions. My mother's going to kill me. Don't debate. Just do it and get it done. And so he went ahead and gave them their instructions, and they went without hesitation and did what he said to do. Done. Now, I'm sure they were confused. I'm sure they were thinking, what in the world does he need these donkeys for? But they didn't question him. They didn't say, we can't have you riding like that. Or they didn't say what most people would say nowadays. I'm sorry, but I am not riding with you riding on that. Okay? Now, you have to remember, too, some of these disciples had a great deal of money. Some of them came from family of wealth. Some themselves had generated wealth. The fishermen obviously had a trade. And so they would have had to have boats and different things and catching all this fish. And, well, I'm telling you, a fish market, if you come up with enough fish, you get plenty money. So it's not as though they couldn't pay for him. But they still followed him. They knew him to be rich and to be poor, to be high and to be low, to be grandiose and to be simple. The key thing here is they didn't question him. They just did it, and they went and did it because they knew that Jesus was Jesus. They respected him. They were in awe with him. Him master. And remember, it said, a king cometh unto thee. But they still did what he said, and they rode in on a donkey. Now, the people were all set for him because they knew this is the day we hear the king is coming. We already know from Zechariah that it was already established. But what happens is, when people don't read or they don't pay attention or they don't listen, what is it? We have a West Indian saying, if you can't hear, you must feel. There is nothing in the New Testament that we do not know, because every single thing we have been foretold in the Old Testament. Now, these are people who are supposed to be religious, people of faith, people of God. At the time, they didn't have their Savior. They knew a Savior was coming, but they did not know that he was the Savior. They were expecting the most powerful, powerful person ever known to man, because God foretold that a Savior would come, and they thought, well, forget all these kings and everybody else who's ruling us right now and treating us so badly. We know someone is coming. He's going to be big. He's going to be powerful. He's going to be rich. He's going to be handsome. He's going to be every single thing anybody could ever want to be, all wrapped in one. And you know what? I can't knock them, because we have been told certain things, and so you expect that to happen. And if you have no expectation, then that means you aren't really prepared for anything. We have calendars with dates all over it, and we know birthdays and anniversaries and so many things, and we put them down, and we know that we can expect that December 25th, no matter where we are in the world, will be Christmas. We can expect that January 1st will always be, no matter where you are in the world, no matter what's happened in your life, no matter what you're going through, even if you shut the doors and never leave your home and you hide from the world, January 1st will still arrive, it will still come, it will still take place, and the rest of the world will celebrate and say, Happy New Year. And that's what expectation does. Expectation is nothing but hope and faith. Because when you have faith and you have hope, you believe that whatever is supposed to happen will happen. And so they say to pray with an expectant heart. Why pray if you don't expect anything to happen? And this is good, because when you have expectancy, it means you have hope. You have hope and faith that whatever it is supposed to happen will take place. So these amazing people, they were preparing. And keep in mind, it was Passover, just as it is now. And they were already celebrating the Passover holiday, because they were preparing for this whole entire week of Passover. And it was a huge celebration. So imagine, the place was already decorated and everything was doing good. You know how we do it. It's not just like Sunday dinner. It literally is like Christmas. We might have a nice Sunday dinner, but on Christmas we take out the good plates, you know, the kind that your mama says, don't be careful with plate. My mom would say, that thing is older than you. You be careful with that. So you know the good china is coming out and the good plates are coming out and that wonderful, beautiful pot that you have that you're cooking the Sunday roast, but you cook the really big roast in. And yeah. The fancy new tablecloth and everybody changes, you know, in the islands, we know that they go through and they like change their window coverings and their shades and they curtains and they put new bedspreads and bedding on there and everybody is preparing. It's already Passover. But we read here, according to Matthew, that the multitudes basically knew that this was the day he was coming. They must have heard. Good news spreads, amen? Gossip spreads, but good news is better to get. They say gossip travels quickly, but good news, I like to think, is even faster. And so word got out. Could you imagine? Even back then, they didn't have phones, wire transfers. They didn't have telex machines, any of that stuff. They did it all by word of mouth. And at this point, we already know, and it says the multitude. So we know it's a lot of people we're expecting. And so it said that they took these branches off of the trees and they got them ready and they tied them up. So they kind of started forming an archway into the city. And, you know, yeah, it must have looked amazing. Big, big branches of palm leaves, and they even had some that they could wave, and you know how big those things are, and they could be waving them. It was another celebration, and this is on top of Passover. So that means they were now preparing for another celebration. And it says here, and the multitude that went before and that followed, they were marching down the street and preparing, and almost like a parade. And they were lining the streets, and they were going, and they were heading to where they knew that he was going to come in and get ready, like a sports game almost. The team is coming out of the tunnel. Oh, our Savior, our King is coming. He's going to turn this place upside down. And so they were getting all ready. They were getting pumped up. And they went and they lined everything and they were waving and they were proclaiming. I read. They cried saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Yeah, glory, hallelujah, glory, hallelujah. Oh, praise God. We do this in church. We praise him, we praise him, we praise him. And then the next line says, and when he came to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? Could you imagine the letdown? You were expecting high and mighty and powerful and all of this grandiose. And then all of a sudden, here comes this guy. Says, humble, meek, sitting on a donkey with the colt of the donkey. Just riding along, so he's on this little donkey, and there's an even smaller one beside him, just kind of mosey on along, slowly, slowly, because donkeys, they don't run, they don't race, they don't gallop in. You'd be lucky if they do what you tell them to do half the time. I think that's why they call them the other name that I have refused to say today, but they don't do anything that they don't feel like doing. So they take their time. And can you imagine the letdown? It's like deflating a ball or a balloon. They burst the bubble. Was not what showed up. But I know that the Lord would not have me call this expect the unexpected for no reason. So we go over to 1 Peter 5. Remember where we read that? We started at verse 6, and it said, humble yourself therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Jesus already knew this. He knew who he was. He knew what was going to come. He knew what was going to happen. He knew who he was. He proudly declared who he was. He would even question the disciples, "Who do you say I am?" Okay? If I said that to some people, they'd be like, "Well, you ain't anybody." But he knew. At the time that this was taking place, he was the most important person on earth. It says again, "Humble yourself, therefore, unto the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." If you're obedient and you do what you're told to do by God Almighty, you don't have to worry about who knows who you are and what worth and value you are, because God knows how you are valued. And then number 7 says, casting all your care upon him. He careth for you. Don't worry about anything. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions and accomplished is in your brethren that are in the world. Repeat this part. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. I'm repeating that because we are in a time of pandemic. Even the people who are acting like nothing is happening are all going through the same thing, despite how they may react to it. But you'll notice the scripture before that said, be sober, be vigilant. And well, we know that the enemy is busy. So that's why we, right now, in the midst of this pandemic, need to be sober. We have to have our wits about us. We have to be vigilant. We have to be careful, and we have to be wise and shrewd about what we do and when we do it and how we do it and what happens. And in the end, everybody is going through the same affliction. But then in verse 10 it says, but the God of all grace. Isn't that wonderful? God of all grace. Could you imagine? Just think of grace itself. Just to have God give you grace and mercy. To us, it's the most powerful thing we could ever ask God to have upon any one of us. He, all the grace. What would it be like to possess all of the grace? God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus. That ye, after ye have suffered a while, okay? Come on now, I know I'm speaking to everybody. Make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. I read that as, just do as I say and everything will be just fine. Amen? So to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. And of course, amen. You see, as we talked about calendars, everybody had a calendar for 2020. Everyone knew that these holidays, these birthdays, these anniversaries, all these dates would be happening. But you had plans. People had plans. I have friends who were getting married. I have one who just got married just because her life was just very different at the time, and we didn't even know. I heard about it after she got married. Another person had been planning her wedding for over a year. And then the pandemic hit. Because we weren't expecting to have our lives turned upside down the way that it did. We weren't expecting not to be able to attend weddings. We weren't expecting that, my word, when somebody dear to us passes away, that we wouldn't be able to even attend their funeral. We weren't expecting that we wouldn't even be able to see our loved ones down the street. We weren't expecting to not even be able to hug or even talk to or have people visit us or visit somebody else. We weren't expecting that we couldn't fly around the world like we're so accustomed to doing. We weren't expecting so many things. We weren't expecting to celebrate milestone birthdays locked up in our homes by ourselves alone, and barely anyone could do something. But when we humbled ourselves and we looked to the Lord, He would allow us to realize that it doesn't matter what we expected, because if we ick the unexpected, we are prepared. That we need to just humble ourselves, cast all our cares to Him, and be sober and be vigilant, because we know that the enemy is busy right now, very, very busy. And remain steadfast in our faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in our brethren that are in the world, my word. But with the resolve that the grace of God, or even nicer, the God who has all grace, my word, who has done so much and prepared us for an eternal being and glory with Him, said, after we have suffered a while, He will make it perfect. He will stabilize things. He will strengthen us, and He will settle us down. So to Him, glory and dominion forever and ever. We know they have that saying that tell God your plans and watch Him laugh. We are not in control of anything right now. But right now we can control what we do and how we handle certain things. If you are expecting the unexpected, then you are prepared to trust God to allow you to see and feel and experience things in a different way. Because if we reach out to Him, we know that although He came on a donkey, low and meek and mild, in due time, it says, God will exalt Him. And He certainly did. He not only hailed Him up on a cross, but He brought Him high and lifted up home, sitting at the right hand of His Father and awaiting us. And most importantly, if God has all grace and Jesus has gone to intercede for us, then we need to not only be humble, meek, and mild, and lowly, and trust and have faith and put all our cares with Him, but knowing that Jesus Christ is interceding on our behalf. And when we expect the unexpected. We are prepared because we are people who walk by faith and not by sight. We have learned to trust in the Lord with all our hearts and lean not to our own understanding. And we have learned to acknowledge him all our ways so that he will direct our path. When things aren't how you expect them, know that the only person who is surprised is you, because God already knew.
Ooh. If you ever feeling down and like you have nowhere to go, if you feeling like an outcast at the bottom, overflow. Just remember, there is someone, and all it takes is for you to know is that God is the answer, and God.
The glory. Great things he has done. Amen. God does answer prayers. You need to speak with him, not just today, but every day. I know a lot more people have been speaking to him, because when we're in need, we reach out to him. And, you know, to be honest, I don't think he really minds, because he just wants us to talk to him. He just wants us to speak with him, to share with him. And yes, despite what you're going through, and you may be begging and pleading with him all the time these days, you need to thank him. Because for everything that you expected that didn't happen, you have to thank him for what was unexpected and what did happen. Because you're still here. You still have breath. You have his breath. You have life. Well, some people don't always have freedom, but we have freedom. Some people don't have clothes. We have lots of clothes, too much clothes. Some people don't have food. We have tons and tons of food that stores are throwing them away and people are begging them to donate them. We have roofs over our head, and there's so many people who have no roof, let alone over anything over their head. But for every single thing you don't have, or those who are lacking, we still all have life. And if you don't know him to be your savior, all you have to do is talk to him. Ask him to come into your heart. Ask him to come into your life. Confess that you have sinned. There's no shame in it, because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Each of us slip and fall and probably sin every day. And that's what I like about my God. He's so forgiving that even when he knows you didn't mean to, he knows your heart and not just what you say or do. So just ask. Believe in who he is and confess who you are and what you've done. You don't have to break it down to him, because he knows. He knows every single thing you've done wrong. And so for that, once you've done that, you're saved. Continue to hold on to him. Continue to speak to him. Continue to praise him. Continue to ask him. Just continue to, even if it's just in the morning, to say, good morning, Lord. Just reach out. And if he is your savior and you've already done all those things, and you know he is, and maybe you feel like you haven't done what you should do for him or with him, that's okay. It's never too late until that breath is gone. Just know that your faith is good for him, but his faithfulness to us is beyond words. We'll be right back.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. Thou changest not, thy compassion they fail not, as thou hast been, thou forever will be. Summer and winter, springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, they join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercy I see, and all I have needed thy hand have provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and peace that endureth, thy own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for tomorrow, blessings all mine with 10,000 besides. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies have been, and Lord, I have needed thy hand, have provided.
Amen. Great is thy faithfulness. Great it is indeed. Thank you for joining us again for this Palm Sunday sermon message. I am Pastor Jay Grosner, and on behalf of my family and I, we wish you a blessed Sunday afternoon, and we know that God's grace is sufficient, so may his grace be with you. And know that Jesus loves you, and so do I. God be with you until we meet again. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and evermore. Amen.
May your struggle keep you near the cross, and may your trouble show that you need God, and may your bad days prove that God is good, and may your whole life prove that God is good. See, may your struggles keep you near the cross, and may your
y'all so much for coming out.
May your bad days prove that God is good. May your whole life prove that God is good. See, may your bad days prove that God is good. Come on. May your whole life, yeah.